Welcome back, everybody. We are off the couch with the Psych Guys. My name is Timothy Meyer, as always, with Dr. Constantine Wuchin. And today we're going to be talking about SSRIs.
Right, for sure. So just to kind of put that out there, we are not psychiatrists or physicians. So just a disclaimer out there. This is really two guys as clinicians, you know, doing this for a while, seeing what kind of comes up. Obviously, some of the people that we work with are on medication, variety of different medication. Mm-hmm. Some, from our point of view, a bit overprescribed, sometimes underprescribed. So this is, again, just to put that out there, we're not making any claims about, from a physician, psychiatrist point of view, just as a clinical observation about working with people who are on meds.
Exactly. So SSRIs, what are they? Selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which is a weird long name. So because it's a weird long name, we call them antidepressants. And they're prescribed often for folks who are feeling down and depressed and anxious. By the way, a lot of people get a little confused when they're dealing with a lot of anxiety and they're prescribed, let's say, Zoloft, and they Google it and they see it's an antidepressant. They're like, what? It just works that way.
It's just off-label stuff. So let's not, just imagine that you are going to a specialist, be it your primary care or a psychiatrist, and they are taking all of what they know about how medication works and then choose the right medication. So unlike maybe in other fields of medicine where maybe there's only one or two medicine that works for a specific issue, in psychiatry, really same medication could be prescribed for a variety of different issues. So please don't be alarmed. Let a lot of people take Abilify. So if you Google Abilify, you'll see it's an antipsychotic, but then people who are not on psychotic take it for depression. So just, again, I'm not saying don't go to Dr. Google, but I'm just also saying, like, some things that Dr. Google writes isn't necessarily how it's clinically practiced. So just to kind of put you guys at maybe ease about that. But our focus is really about making clinical observations about people who are on different types of meds.
Yep, exactly, right? So one thing that I think a lot, I think that it can be, well, I'll talk about how I think SSRI should be used, right? Yeah. I think that it's a good way to lower the volume on a symptom, right? So let's say if someone's feeling extremely down and depressed and they really can't get up out of bed, right? Well, I think that in that case, an SSRI would be useful to lower the volume on the depression and the depressive symptoms so that they can get out of bed to go do the work that they need to do in order to actually take care of their depression.
Sure.
So in a nutshell, what would that be? You know, being able to get out of the house. We call that, you know, behavioral activation. The more you do, the better you feel.
Right.
That sort of thing, right? So if, let's say, a Zoloft gives you the reduction in the symptoms so that you can get out there, so you can do things, so you can push yourself to, oh, I don't know, take a shower, go to the grocery store, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it really should be used for. I think it should be used for most of the time, a short period of time, to lower the volume so you can do the work. And the work really is what you're doing in therapy and what you're doing outside of therapy because of therapy. And then with that medicine in your system and the symptom as well, you do your work, you get better, and then we slowly taper off of it. That to me is really like the gold standard of how psychotherapy and medication can work together to help someone.
Right.
However, I don't think that that's done very often if you look at how many folks are on SSRIs.
Right.
I think really what it's kind of turned into is, well, because SSRIs are rather easy to get and usually very little side effects and usually very little risk, they're prescribed very often.
Right.
A lot of primary care docs will kind of prescribe them and then just refill them. So I know lots of people who have been on SSRIs for years. And then I guess I wonder to myself in my head, I'm like, wait, this is supposed to be in your system to reduce the symptoms so you could do the work and then you get off of them. But you've been on them for 15 years or 20 years. And to me, that just kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Right. I hear you. Well, it's definitely, as a clinician, we're here to help people empower themselves to try to do better for themselves. Of course, one can see medication is a way out of doing the work, right? Because, like, if you're feeling better, kind of like, then why do the work if you could just feel better?
That's one way to look at it.
Well, that's I mean, I don't know. That's kind of the way it seems to me. Again, just that the kind of disclaimer there too. It's not, a lot of people do need it and need to stay on forever, because if they're not on it, they might not function at all. So that's not really a call for that. But I like your point. I think it's overprescribed from time to time. I think a lot of people make a habit out of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like kind of taking a vitamin, mm-hmm. right? And that then that's what they are. They're feeling better. They can function in their life. And in a way, you to me, I could see how almost like seductive that looks, right? Because if you could take something and then you feel better and you could function, you know, in the way that you'd like, be it that you're more engaged in relationships, or be it that you are in a better mood, or that you're able to take care of yourself, eat better. I could see how that makes a lot of sense, especially in a busy world that we live in. Like that, to me, I could see how that could be a substitute
mm-hmm.
for self-development, be it therapy or be it other ways that people kind of try to improve themselves. But that's where people, to me, to your point, that's where people can get stuck.
And I think a lot of people get stuck there.
And they do. And again, just now that we're talking about it, one thing that comes to mind, you know, you and I live and breathe self-development, clinical work, empowerment, improvement, accountability, feeling better, doing better, right? But you know, I notice sometimes, even when I work with people in individual work, I have to remind myself, this is like 45 minutes to an hour in
mm-hmm.
in their week, right? Like, so because I think and breathe it all the time, you know, that's just not what people do. Like, yeah, in my mind, I don't understand how people don't prioritize like self-development or mental health above everything else, because I chose this profession and that's what I do personally. And that's what, because I just don't understand what could be more important. Mm-hmm. But again, probably if you talk to like a physician, or if you talk to a finance guy, I'd be like, are you insane? Of course money is more important. Or of course physical health is more important. Like, so I could totally get that. It's just sometimes takes a little bit of adjustment as a clinician when you, myself, work with people that just pop a pill, they're feeling better and they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree, right? and we have to recognize our own bias, because right. I'm all about like, hey, like work on yourself, right, change. Right. Just like I know how to do this. We can work right. together right. and do it, right? So a lot of people aren't exactly in that headspace, which is
right.
which is okay. But you know, I don't think that many people, you know, when they're first prescribed that Zoloft or right. Lexapro or whatever it is, I don't think that they're given that spiel that we're talking about here on how. You know, perhaps this lowers the volume
right.
so you can do the thing
right.
and that you could do the work and so you can actually get better.
Right.
Right. I don't think that anyone is told that.
I think it may be gaining momentum now because I think mental health is sexy now.
Yeah.
So I think, but you're right. I think traditionally, absolutely. I think from a physician's point of view, when I have a couple of physician friends, they have very limited training on mental health or psychiatry, mm-hmm. just in general. Forget about psychotherapy, right? So for them, from what I understand, at least more traditionally, they see it as it's a diagnosable disorder with medical cause,
mm-hmm.
with medical solution, right? Mm-hmm. It just, to me, it like flows off the tongue so well, right? It's a medical condition with medical solutions, with medical medicine that needs to fix the issue. So it's not about a blame thing. It's just about that's how people see it.
Yep.
That's how people see it. Physicians are saying, a lot of them, not all of them. Again, we're not like trying to say everybody's the same.
Right, right. Oh, disclaimers.
I could totally see somebody say, oh, these people, they're not MDs talking about MD issues. No, I'm not saying anything.
No.
I'm just saying that, you know, I think a lot of newer physicians, younger physicians are more open to saying, and that's why I think a lot of physicians like evidence-based treatments, right? Mm-hmm. Evidence-based because it's been shown in research, it's limited amount of sessions, right? Like, so it sounds well, because everything in medicine is about does it work, show me that it works, here's the medicine that shows to work, right? And they I think they see psychotherapy in a similar way
nowadays,
yeah, right.
Yeah, and so, you know, my main message and my listen, I have this conversation with mm-hmm. patients all the time, you know, about their meds and what they're doing with them and all that sort of stuff. Really, you know, I'm hoping that anyone listening to this, I'm hoping that this might change a little bit the way that they're seeing their medication
right.
and their mental struggles, their feelings, et cetera, because they probably, this probably wasn't explained to them.
I agree. The one thing that comes on my end, though, as much as I agree with you that some of them are being easily prescribed,
yep.
And some people just take it and that's it. there's also a section of the population that falls on the opposite spectrum, mm-hmm. where it would have been great if they would have taken something so they could just function better or even have the strength to be able to engage in psychotherapy, and they just focus too much on maybe the stigma around it, maybe they focus too much on side effects. Again, Dr. Google told them that it's terrible. You know, so I think there's a section of population, it would be great if they could see it more like, I'm taking this for a short period of time so that I can get the energy, so that I can get the willingness, the motivation, the ability to start looking in the mirror and to try to be able to help oneself. Because sometimes the jump from not doing well to taking accountability and doing the work is just too great. It's just, right? Sometimes I know the I really like the analogy, like you have to take Advil for back if you want to do physical therapy. Otherwise, physical therapy is unreachable. Like to me, sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's like you have a tumor or cancer. You need chemo. Like you're not just gonna do, you know, you're not gonna just work yourself out of chemo, right? Like cancer, right? You need chemo. You need like to get on medicine to get yourself to a place where then the cancer is gone. Then you could do like self-improvement, physical, eat right, all sorts of different things, right? But you need it to get to a place. And unfortunately, I'm not really seeing the balance of what I think we're trying to put out there to people is that take it when you need it and then also work on yourself. Sounds like the segment of population you're talking about, just use it as a vitamin and they're feeling well and they're not doing the work, and that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And the section of population that I'm talking about is really kind of the opposite. They're too reticent. They're too unsure. They're too just have a lot of obstacles to get the help that they really need. So to me, if we can get your people to take more accountability and do more work, and we can take the types of people I'm talking about to really engage with their providers, mm-hmm. to be able to talk and to really understand how it could be beneficial, that would be, to me, then we're really doing good work, and we're getting closer to the vision that you described earlier.
Exactly, right? So it's both end of the spectrums there. It's you know, the person who went to their PCP 10 years ago and said that they right. were feeling down, and they've gotten Zoloft every day ever since. Right. And then there's the other group of the population where we meet with them and we're like, oh my gosh, like if you were only on right. maybe like a small dose right. of something, that might give you a little right. bit so we can do this and that, right? And so just moving people right. like more towards that middle, exactly like what you said. And it comes down to, I'm gonna keep going back to it because right. I really like it. It's there to turn down the volume right. so you can do the work.
Right.
And when that happens, that works really, really, really well. And that can change lives big time.
Agreed. And for the other population, a lot of the times focusing too much on the negative side effects that Dr. Google told them, mm-hmm. which oftentimes isn't really true anyway. But there are sometimes side effects for sure. But the point that a psychiatrist friend told me once, her point was that, well, that may be true, but what that patient or that client is missing is the fact that you are not in that moment living to your potential. So mm-hmm. the difference between how you should be and where you are is the side effect.
Right.
Is the side effect of depression, is the side effect of anxiety, is the side effect of mania or whatever else the case may be, right? And people don't see it that way. They see, this is me, and I don't know, I may feel better, but look at all the negative side effects.
Mm-hmm.
But from my colleague and my friend, her position is, but if you're here, but your potential is here, then you being here, all of this is the side effect of you not doing well.
Yep. It's basically like the side effects of not taking it.
The side effects of not taking it. So you're single because you're depressed, but if you take it, you'll feel better about yourself, so you're more likely to engage with people. Your full potential is to be the best version of yourself in a relationship and be happy. Just a very basic, simple example. And I would imagine, I don't remember the last time I met somebody who thought that way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So to me, especially the population that I'm talking about, to get people into the medication realm and world, try to see that the medication is there for you to get to the optimal place, or at least get you closer to the optimal place, so that you could do the work. Because a lot of people do the work, and they do a lot of work, and it's oftentimes so impressive the length that they go to do the work. They do individual work, they do spiritual work, they do groups, they do support groups, they do cognitive behavior. They just do so many things. Pretty, actually, very impressive. It's just that sometimes you just need a little bit more help.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You just need a little bit more help to get to a place that you want to be.
Yeah. Well said.
So guys, that's our takeaway. There's extremes, right? We want to get you closer, or suggest a path to get closer to where you take the medication when needed. You try to see it as a way to get you to a place where you could do some of the self-reflection, the work you need to do, and then reevaluate, right? Like, we're not saying mm-hmm. get off medicine, get on medicine. Just try to think critically about where you want to be, and use any tool necessary to get yourself there. I guess that's really my point. My point is, envision how you'd like to be, and then look at what you have, what resources you have at your disposal. Obviously, from two guys that are clinicians, the thing that we can suggest is therapy and medicine, right? Mm. But like, see it as resources to get to a point where you want to be. Don't limit yourself in a way like, oh, I only got to do it this way, I only got to do it that way. Engage that other part of yourself to see what resources you have to get to where you want to be.
Perfectly said.
All right. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys.